Welcome to the Artistic Foodies, the show that explores life through the lens of art and food. I'm Abbas Muhammad.
And I'm Irfan Raidan.
And today we're talking about Ramadan. We also have some really special recipes of traditional Ramadan foods from my childhood for you throughout this episode. So make sure you give it a listen all the way through. Ramadan's a really, really special time. It's the ninth month of the Islamic calendar, and it is a month of fasting. And we're gonna get into what exactly fasting is and how it benefits you in a little bit. But I just want to start off with a little story. I'm sure some of the folks listening can relate, but the Ramadan back home, whether you're from Pakistan or the Middle East, you know, wherever back home is for some of us immigrant Muslims, Ramadan is a whole different experience. And I know that in almost some countries all around the world, and wherever you have a big Muslim population, everyone goes all out for Ramadan. And so some of my fondest memories growing up in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, were it was just all about family getting together. All the food spots are closed, you know, during the daytime, and they're open all night, like up until Fajr time. And so some of my favorite memories is basically sleeping all day and then waking up an hour before iftar. It was a super easy fast. And basically just getting ready and going to whoever's house we were going to for iftar that night.
That's cheating, man.
I mean, as a kid, it's like, okay, how can we make the fast a little easier? But, you know, now as a grown man, I'm not going to lie, I wish I could do that. and then we'd show up and all the family would be there, all the cousins would be there, and it would just be a full feast. And there's like rounds. You start with the shorba, start with some soup, you know, you have your fruit jar, stuffed dates, and then you get on to the fried course. We get some samosas, some pakoras, egg rolls, whatever it is, and then you get to the sort of, by the time you're ready for the main meal, you're just eating, you've already eaten so much, and so this, it's just like a lot of really, really good food, and I have a lot of really amazing cooks in my family, you know, definitely that home-cooked Ramadan special meal. So, you know, I have a lot of very fond memories of the food. And I think for me, Ramadan ultimately is about sharing, whether that's sharing food or sharing space with someone, sharing memories, and sharing recipes. And now that, you know, I myself am able to cook a lot, I love to share recipes. You know, that is something that, you know, when you taste a food of your childhood, it takes you back. It's all about the sensory experiences and the sensory memories. And I hope to recreate that for my kids one day as well, inshallah. I'm going to teach you a very quick and easy way to make stuffed date. First, cut a slit down the date so you can remove the pit. Once the dates are pitted, you can stuff them with honey-soaked almond. Once the almonds are in, stuff it further with table cream, also known as gishta. Once the table cream has also been added, lightly drizzle it with runny honey, and you're done. Refrigerate this and take it out at iftar time. It's really going to take your iftar to the next level. What was Ramadan for you growing up, Irfan?
I have a little bit different experience because obviously I was born and raised here in the Bay Area, and I haven't had the pleasure of celebrating or observing Ramadan outside of North America. But, you know, as a child, my father used to take us for the Taraweeh prayers, which is a special prayers at nighttime, which many Muslims do during Ramadan at the masjid. And usually we used to go together as a family. And then after Taraweeh prayers is finished, which usually it ends pretty late, you know, like 10, 11 p.m. sometimes. So he used to take us to the local ice cream shop, which is nearby the masjid that I grew up in downtown San Jose. Foster's Freeze ice cream. So obviously I used to enjoy eating the ice cream, me and my brother and sister. So that was a very fond memory that we had growing up. And now I'm trying to do something similar with my kids. I have two young boys. So sometimes when I take them for gym or prayers, I try to take them for a little treat, you know, either ice cream or cookies or milkshake or something. So that way they have that similar sweetness in their memory that will take them back, and hopefully, you know, in the long run when they grow up, they'll also remember that, and maybe they'll continue that tradition as well.
That's amazing. That's such a sweet tradition, Irfan.
Yeah,
and it's all, you know, it's all about sort of like making these nice memories, these sweet memories, so that when we have these experiences where we're really orienting ourselves towards God, and ultimately that's what all of this is about. Is ultimately it's about living a life of worship and living a life that we believe that God wants us to live, and making it sweet is really nice. So, you know, so many people have really fond memories of Ramadan. And for some of the listeners who maybe are not familiar with what Ramadan is, it's essentially, like I said before, it's the ninth month of the Islamic calendar, and it's a month of fasting. And what is fasting? It's basically from dawn till dusk, from sunrise to sunset. We're not eating, we're not drinking, we're not smoking, we're avoiding, you know, there's a list of a few things that we can't do. And that is what fasting is. And it has so many benefits. I mean, spiritually, I can tell you, spiritually speaking, when I'm hungry and I haven't eaten all day, I feel lighter. And I feel this increased ability to be more mindful of where I am in that moment, my immediate environment. It's an ability to go within. And in fact, anyone who's listening can try this out, right? You know, maybe that hour before you open your fast, when you're very light and, you know, you can't be doing any work, your mind is just like, oh, I'm just thinking about food. That is an opportunity. Like, go within. When you have this lightness and nothing weighing you down, you know, hunger is a food for the soul. The spirit becomes more activated. So try this out. Try any kind of mindfulness activity, whether it's drawing or sketching or, you know, just going to nature and just sitting and looking at nature. Whatever it is, use that opportunity to go within, to just become completely present with your environment and just tune in, and you'll see the spiritual benefits of fasting start to emanate.
So Ramadan also has great community benefits. It's a time where a lot of people obviously go to the masjid, go to the mosque, do some extra prayers, and they also break their fast, which is called iftar in Arabic, together with their families. And then usually on the weekends, the local mosque have their big community iftars where communities come together and break their fast together. So it's a great time for people to usually get together. Obviously now, because of COVID, that has kind of been restricted last year, and I'm sure this year also it'll have some restrictions. But now that things are starting to get opened up again and people are getting vaccinated, people can, you know, start to spend time with their families more and break their fast together. And then the other part of Ramadan, which is important, is that it's a time where people are also thinking about those in need. And obviously, because we're fasting, we feel hungry. So we feel more empathetic toward people, homeless people or other people who don't have food. So usually Ramadan is a time when Muslims start to give more charity. They donate to fundraisers for, you know, all over the world, and even locally, Muslims like to give give food, give money for people to get some clothing, get some shelter. So it's a time for giving, a time for charity. And that's another thing that makes Ramadan special.
It really is. And I think that charity aspect really reminds us that, you know, Muslim or non-Muslim, whether someone is part of your race or not part of your race, everyone is part of this same human family. You know, when you get down to fasting, it's about your basic needs. It's about food and water. And and building that very, very basic level of empathy with the fellow human just sort of invites us to give a lot in charity. I mean, ultimately, humans are all like one body. You know, if there is pain in one part of the human body, the whole body should be feeling that pain. Right. And speaking about bodies, there's also a lot of great scientific benefits, of course, to fasting. You know, your body gets a chance to heal itself, to detox, to regain control over stuff like your blood sugar level, to keep inflammation down. You know, all of these things that your body doesn't get a chance to do when we're just eating all the time, all day, all night, you know. And fasting is also a great chance to lose weight because it's essentially it's intermittent fasting. You're not eating all day, and then at nighttime you're sleeping for the majority of the night. So your eating hours are sort of very very short, you know. And during that window of time, you end up losing a lot of weight. It's really challenging to gain weight during Ramadan, wouldn't you say, Irfan?
Yeah, we got to keep it a little bit real here. You know, we got to keep it 100 here. Sometimes, unfortunately, some Muslims end up overeating in Ramadan. They think that, oh, I haven't eaten the whole day, now I got to make up for it at iftar time. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, I admit I like to eat the unhealthy iftari foods, like the fried samosas and pakoras and drinking all the ruabs and all that stuff, which is fine. But we got to remember to be in moderation, because a lot of people end up gaining weight in Ramadan, believe it or not, because they kind of forget about the purpose of Ramadan, which is to be self-control, self-discipline yourself, and be able to control your eating. So that's something that we got to remember as Muslims and everyone else, that sometimes we go overboard and we got to control that.
Facts. Yeah, no, absolutely right. But of course, this is a podcast called The Artistic Foodie, so we're going to be talking about food. Before we get into a couple more recipes, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors, Teriyaki Madness.
Assalamu alaikum. Here at Teriyaki Madness in Santa Clara, we bring to you freshly prepared and flavorful teriyaki, which is made to order. All of our halal items are zabiya, hand-slaughtered chicken, and are labeled as halal on the menu for your convenience. They are chicken teriyaki, chicken breast teriyaki, our famous spicy chicken, and chicken katsu. We hope your family can join us on our beautiful 5,000 square foot patio. All tables are socially distanced and have a huge canopy available with patio heaters for your comfort. You can also order on our website or app for the lowest prices for pickup and delivery. We are open for lunch and dinner every day of the week, and inshallah, we will see you very soon.
So as previously mentioned, community is a big part of Ramadan, and where people get together with their families, they share the food, they spend time with their friends. And unfortunately, last year, because of COVID, a lot of Muslims were not able to do that, and they were kind of stuck at home. They couldn't go to the masjid, they couldn't go to their friend's house for iftar, they couldn't go to iftar parties, get together. So what we did at Halal Fest is we decided to do some videos, which we called quarantine cooking, because everybody was kind of stuck at home in quarantine. And we wanted to be able to share some of those recipes that people enjoy during Ramadan with their favorite foods. So, you know, Abbas was one of our featured performers or cooks sharing his recipes.
Yeah, and it was a lot of fun, and you know, it was an opportunity for me to share a lot of recipes of the foods that I had in my childhood. We were talking about it a little bit earlier, so you can find all of those recipes on the Halal Fest YouTube channel. And in fact, I want to share a couple of those with you today. So I'll start with samosas, because no iftar is complete without some samosas. Welcome to another episode of Quarantine Cooking, presented to you by Halal Fest. My name is Abbas Muhammad. Today, I want to start teaching you recipes of different foods that I grew up eating. Today, we're going to be doing beef samosas. I prefer with beef, but you can do it with lamb as well. It's going to be super easy to follow, so pay attention, and soon you'll be making your own samosas at home. We're going to prep all the veggies first. Amongst all these veggies, what we have is parsley, cilantro, carrot, onion, mint, and green onions. So let's get all that chopped up and grated and add it to a bowl. Now we're gonna brown the beef. Got a couple tablespoons of oil here, and for this one, I'm using ground beef from Safeway. I know, Safeway, right? But check this out, halal certified. This is the Open Nature brand from Safeway. So I'm gonna go ahead and put a pound of this. We're gonna start to cook this. I'm gonna add a little bit of water now to help this cook because it's beef. If you're using chicken, you don't have to add this. Just a little bit, no quantities here, just enough to get the beef submerged so that it cooks evenly. The beef is cooked. I'm gonna go ahead and add a teaspoon each of garlic paste and ginger paste and then brown it. Now that the keema is starting to brown, we're gonna add some spices. I'm gonna add a teaspoon of salt, a teaspoon of red chili powder, and a teaspoon of ground cumin.
Samosa, samosa, hamare samosa.
Now that the beef has cooled, let's add all of the veggies that we prepared earlier.
Samosa, samosa, hamare samosa.
Now once it's all mixed together, you can taste it and decide how you want to adjust the flavor. Now that the samosa mix is ready, let's get the samosa wrappers and get to filling. So we're going to take a sheet of samosa wrapper, and you can get samosa wrapper from any desi Indian store, whatever it is. The first step is you want to make a little triangle like this, and then fold it up this way. Once that is done, fold it one more time, and you have yourself a little pocket. Make sure you hold this stably. Open up the hole of your pocket and stick the meat right into the hole, making sure not to spill any of it. Once you've stuffed your meat right into the hole and packed it in, fold it one more time. And with that leftover part, I'm just gonna add a little bit of egg wash and we're going to seal it right off. Congratulations, you made a samosa. Remember, it doesn't matter if it looks weird, so it's on the inside that counts. We're doing our best here, y'all. This is beautiful. Be right back, I'm gonna show this to my mom. Now that we have folded up all the samosas, let's go ahead and take these over to the fryer so we can fry them up. You wanna make sure that you drop them in gently, or what you could do is put them on top of a slotted spoon and then use that to drop it in.
Samosa, samosa, hamare samosa. Bedune ande hamare samosa. Samosa bana raha hoon main.
Now remember, the beef is already cooked, so we don't have to let this fry for too long, just until it's golden crispy on both sides. Now prepare a plate for the samosas that has a little bit of paper towel for that to catch all the extra oil. And let's take the samosas out. Now we eat the samosas. Once the samosas have come out of the fryer and they've cooled down a little bit, get your assortment of all of your sauces and chutneys and sauces and things that you want. I've just got simple ketchup over here. Let's give it a taste.
Ramadan was never complete without samosas.
Okay, and then this next recipe that I want to share is a dessert recipe. It's falooda. One of my favorites. Hey, what's going on, everyone? This is another episode of Quarantine Cooking. Now, I know I've been cooking a lot of savory food, but how about dessert? This one is upon request. Today, I'm going to be making pink sharbat and then taking it to the next level by making something called falooda. Now, since we're making falooda, there's a little bit of prep involved, so let's get to it. Get some chia seeds or basil seeds, pretty much the same thing, and soak it in a little bit of water. This will allow the chia seeds to soak up the water. Chia seeds are amazing for Ramadan because it hydrates you. Crush your nuts. I like almonds and pistachios. So get your favorite nuts up on your chopping board and chop, 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 chop them up. A rough chop will do just fine, but you don't want any big nut sizes that someone could choke on. Make the sharbat. How do you do that? I'm glad you asked. Dun, 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 dun. Ruhafza, ruhafza, summer drink of the East. Now,
Now, some people like mixing Ruh Hafza with water. I'm not one of those people. Never. I mix my Ruh Hafza with milk, and that's called pink sherbet. Now, Ruh Hafza with milk with a little bit of nuts on top is just so good for an iftari drink. Well, enough talking. Let's make it. In order to make pink sherbet, all I have to do is add Ruh Hafza into the milk until it's the flavor, the color, and consistency of your choosing. Smells like Ramadan. Now, it's important to keep tasting as you go. It's better to add a little bit first, taste, and then keep adding more until you get the flavor that you like. Now, the pink milk with the nuts, this in itself is called sherbet. So let's give it a taste and make sure we don't need to add any more. Ruh Hafza. That's the stuff. That was really good. Now that we're moving on to making flouda, I want to point out that everybody does this differently. I happen to like Jell-O in mine. Also, a lot of people do add vermicelli noodles, very thin noodles. They boil it, and then you take the noodles and you add it in the glass. So in your glass, you're first gonna layer your chia seeds, then Jell-O, then you're gonna add vanilla ice cream, or if you're feeling fancy, you could add kulfi. Now I'm gonna pour my sherbet over the ice cream, and then sprinkle my crushed nuts on top of the ice cream. Finally, just to garnish it, a little bit more Jell-O to make the color pop, and then a faint drizzle of Ruh Hafza. And just like that, you have falooda. This is such a decadent dessert. I can't wait to dig in. I'm gonna give it a little mix so that the seeds can come up and float around a little bit. Wow. This flavor takes me back to Pakistan, all the way back to Karachi. Yes, you can have a sweet Ramadan as well. So I hope you try making this recipe, and if you do, take a picture or a video, and please tag Halal Fest. My name is Abbas Muhammad, and it's been so much fun making falooda with you tonight. See you later!
Falooda is definitely one of my all-time favorite desserts and always a crowd pleaser. I hope you guys can make any of the recipes that I shared, and don't forget to tag us if you post on Instagram at The Artistic Foodies.
Yeah, and my son, who's 8 years old, he enjoyed those videos on YouTube from Abbas, and he actually made a couple of them himself, including the stuffed dates as well as the falooda. And he actually memorized some of the lines. Pretty crazy stuff.
It's good stuff. I love that your kids are getting into cooking. I think everyone should get into cooking. I mean, that's we always got to eat, right? So that's a beautiful, beautiful place to explore your creativity as well, as we are artistic foodies. So anyways, Ramadan is around the corner. Maybe you're listening to this be right before Ramadan. Maybe you're listening to it during Ramadan or as Ramadan has passed. Ramadan can be a really fun time. It's also an opportunity for us to just refocus on ourselves and our relationships. What is our relationship with food? What is our relationship with our own self? And what is our relationship with the divine? It's a chance for us to reset, not only physically, but spiritually, and to reorient ourselves to our ultimate goal, which is perfecting the spiritual selves that inhabit these bodies that we are living in. Thank you so much for joining.
Yeah, thanks everybody for listening to the Artistic Foodies podcast. I also wanted to remind everyone, we have over a dozen of those cooking videos on the Halal Fest YouTube page. So check it out. There's a lot of good recipes there from several other chefs and home cooks. And follow us on Instagram at The Artistic Foodies, as well as the Halal Fest Facebook and Instagram page at Halal Fest, and join us on the Facebook group Bay Area Halal Foodies as well. Thanks again for listening, and we have been brought to you by Halal Fest Incorporated and Gamma, Gathering All Muslim Artists.
And a special thank you to the sponsor for this episode, Teriyaki Madness. By the way, my favorite thing from there, spicy teriyaki chicken over noodles. Can't wait to bring you more podcast episodes. To hear more, you can check out theartisticfoodies.com, find us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and don't forget to leave us a nice little review. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Thank you for joining.